SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And away we go on this glorious Friday. It's a football Friday. It's a baseball Friday. The best hour of your day now is officially underway. It is Moneyline. It's a solo mission for Donnie Wrightside, but not for that long, people. Because in segment number two, the big man on campus, Jeff Nader, is going to join us as he's been doing for the past few Fridays and will continue to do throughout football season. We'll talk some NCAA action tomorrow. We'll talk some NFL action on Sunday, which does include an overseas game to get you ready at 9:30 in the morning. And it's a good one, the New York Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. And then we'll take a look at that Sunday card, Sunday night card, Monday night football if we get there. But a lot of excitement here. So thank you guys for tuning in. And for myself here, just trying to get logged in to the chat box so we can make sure that we can say hello to all the good people out here. And also, so many different ways to watch, so many different ways to have fun, sportsgridradio.com. You can also check us out on SiriusXM channel 159, which many of you people do. Also now, as we keep on pitching, SportsGrid on demand on our YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button, come in here and say hello and get it popping. Share your information, have some fun, crack some jokes, bust some you-know-whats, and have some fun with us here. It's what we do. And by the way, the Sports Grid app, the single best app in the sports business here. Make sure you download it on the iOS, anywhere where you can get apps available in the App Store. Make sure you have some fun. So here we go, people. Did you watch last night? Now, granted, I worked last night. Didn't get home until about 1:30. Had my eye on the Major League Baseball game. And I preface this because you see, if you see me right now on the YouTube channel, I got the red on. It's Red October in Philadelphia. I can't wait for this to happen. But this game last night between the Mets and the Brewers was absolute insanity. And why is that? The Brewers took a lead on back-to-back home runs in the seventh inning. It looked like it was a wrap on the New York Mets. It did. So I was live on the air going, you know what? New York Mets just weren't man enough to come to Philadelphia and try to take on the Philadelphia Phillies. What a shame here. It's going to be the Brewers. But I also said before the show started, boy, Major League Baseball, if they could get their wish, they are in heaven in the National League if they can get the Padres and the Dodgers, which they did, and then can get an East Coast battle between the Mets and the Phillies. And now they have that. The National League is absolutely sensational in this next round in the divisional series. The best of five, East Coast, West Coast, unbelievable superstar talent across the board. Baseball's got to love that. But let's get back to the game last night. 2-0 cruising into the ninth inning. Devin Williams, one of the best relievers in Major League Baseball. That's an easy victory for the Brewers, right? They were as high as a minus 5,000 price in the ninth inning to win that game for the Brewers. They end up losing 4-2. Why? Because Pete Alonso finally stepped to the plate and hit a ball that looked like it was a routine fly ball to right field that somehow snuck out of there for a three-run bomb to give them the lead. Unbelievable theater out there. Unbelievable. So as we were live on the air going over the football game, which I'm just going to review in just a few moments here, just the unbelievable performance by Pete Alonso in that ninth inning. And you know the Mets fans were excited. And you know the Mets were excited because they stole that game. You win game one, you're probably supposed to win that series. Everybody else who won game one in the wild card round, what did they do? They won their series in game number two. The Mets had to go to three games and win it in the ninth in unbelievable fashion. This is why we love it, because I had the under yesterday, but also thought the Milwaukee Brewers were going to win that game. It's 2-0 in the ninth inning. That's supposed to be a double win for your boy DRS, but certainly didn't happen that way. Ended up splitting there. But the game did stay under the total. And now the Mets and the Phillies are going to play this weekend, starting off Saturday in the 4 o'clock hour, then Sunday in the 4 o'clock hour. And I tweeted out, if you don't follow me on X/Twitter, you're doing it wrong, at RightsideVP. This is the perfect series for your boy. It just is. Like, I don't work Saturdays, so they play at 4 o'clock. I'll be able to watch that. I'm in the studio right up till Sunday kickoff at 1 o'clock. Which means I usually don't get home, guys, to about 2:45 in the afternoon. I miss roughly the entire first half of the 1 o'clock and into the third quarter. You know me. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles don't play Sunday, and also the Phillies play in the 4 o'clock hour. I won't miss that. Mondays, extremely long days for me in the studio, Pro Football Today at night, to cover the Monday night football game, which is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the New Orleans Saints. They don't play the National League on Monday. They resume back on Tuesday, which I have the day off. I get to watch it. Then Wednesday, yes, I do work that day, but they'll be playing Wednesday evening. I'll be able to watch that game as well. Afternoon, I do have those off. And then Friday, which once again, I do the Moneyline show, which I'm doing right now on a Football Friday, and then Major League Baseball game number 5 if they need it. It is the perfect, perfect series, and I absolutely love that. So it is going well for me now, and just the theater, right? Just the absolute theater that's going to play out in this National League NLDS on both sides. Fantastic. Just hit the retweet button on Sports Grid Radio's account here. Let the people know that we are live. And once again, thanks for checking into the chat box, having some fun. It's me on a solo mission. Jeff Nato is going to join me in the next segment. But I love Major League Baseball. Now is the time. The big boys are out there. And also, I don't want to leave out the American League, but doesn't it just feel anticlimactic at this point in the American League? And that's okay, because why? We're saved by the National League. Detroit, Cleveland, come on now. Will I watch? Yeah, of course I'm going to tune in and watch, because it's Major League Baseball and I love it. The rest of the nation, they ain't watching that. Kansas City, New York, the New Yorkers are tuning in. The Kansas City fans will tune in. The rest of Major League Baseball, we'll be watching. Yeah, that's not great. But you got, San Diego, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, New York, it's just going to be popping. Tyler McGill looks like he's going to be a starter in game number 1 going up against Zach Wheeler and the Philadelphia Phillies. FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, Bet365, all heavy favorites there at a minus 180 to minus 190 price, depending on where you're shopping at. And then that San Diego-Los Angeles Dodgers series actually opened up at FanDuel at minus 148, a bite down there to minus 138 as a favorite towards the Dodgers. That's Yamamoto going up against Cease. Awesome stuff all the way through. But as it was playing out, the theater last night was sensational. Now, I'll take a deep breath on this one. We had a football game on last night that went to overtime, and it ended 36-30. He had one quarterback that threw for over 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. By the way, shout out Santana, Akbar, my guy Jordan P out there in the chat box having some fun. Let it be known. Let your voice be heard. Let it be heard on Sports Grid On Demand on YouTube here. Hit that subscribe button. We'll build that channel. We'll make it into a powerhouse so we can share the information left and right. But the information I shared yesterday wasn't profitable. How's that possible? Why? Going into the game, I usually do my background and my numbers and formulate a game plan. Typically, I love touchdown passes from quarterbacks, but I didn't think that was the right game for touchdowns for quarterbacks. Both of those defenses very stingy, allowing touchdown passes against their defenses. That wasn't the case last night. I mean, we were just popping off every single play. And I bet one rushing touchdown from the Atlanta Falcons, which means Kirk Cousins, if he wanted to score, which you knew he probably wasn't, Bijan Robinson, if he wanted to find pay dirt, and or Tyler Allgeier, or anybody else who was going to run the ball in the end zone. How many times did their wide receivers catch a pass inside the 10-yard line, juke 6 guys, and dive into the end zone? It felt like forever last night. I was like, don't worry, we'll just keep getting those numbers. And then even in extra, or should I say overtime, Atlanta got the football first. I was loving that, because if Allgeier would have got 25 yards, that would have popped off a parlay for me. He wasn't able to do that. Did get 6 carries. His first 2 carries were for 13 yards. I needed 12 yards, essentially, for like the final 3 quarters of the game. I couldn't get that. That's okay. I live with that. But then you run another long, look, a little, hey, over the Cadell Hodge, over the middle, right? Turns it up, gas pedal. Somebody tackle the guy. I was screaming as he was running down the field, ending that football game. That is a big-time win for the Atlanta Falcons. They scored 36 points. The Buccaneers scored 30 points. And I didn't cash a ticket in that game. Sometimes it goes like that, man. We all been around the block when that happens. But you know what? This weekend is big. And also, the FanDuel Sportsbook out there, shout them out. They bumped me up once again. We are going to party this weekend. Follow me at RightsideVP. But we got a great show coming up. The big man on campus joins us next right here on a Football Friday on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is football weather, people. You know that's beautiful out here in the Northeast, but also it is going to be beautiful for Major League Baseball postseason action, which the NLDS and the ALDS start up on Saturday, and away we go. We got the big man on campus here for a Football Friday, Jeff Nadeau. What's good, man?
How are you, Donnie? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's have some fun. Let's get after it. But also, I know you like your Yankees out here, and now that we have the series is set, did you have any action on the wild card rounds? Do you have any action coming up here, Jeff, in the ALDS or NLDS?
Yeah, I'm a sparing better as far as baseball. I mean, I bet a lot in July and August. Didn't really bet it recently. And last night, I really liked the Brewers. I thought it was a great spot for them. You know, awesome, playing really well. And then the ninth inning comes. And look, that's how it goes. I mean, you know how baseball is. It's a fickle sport. You know, they go up 2-0. Going into the ninth, you're figuring, beautiful. They had an out. You know, and then look, you allow a hit to Lindor yet again, I believe. And, you know, look, you give Alonso credit. He comes up, you know, he hits a home run. I would have liked to maybe seen, Williams maybe be pulled a little earlier, but it is what it is. I have the Yankees 20-1. I'll be rooting that in, you know, maybe bet it game to game at times, but it's football time.
It is football time. And by the way, you're right about last night, because there's sometimes you say to yourself, Jeff, if you're betting the regular season, like, oh, man, I don't know about this closer. Like, Devin Williams is a top five closer in Major League Baseball. Like, he is filthy. He is outstanding. And if you have a 2-0 lead, basically, too, because, like, it wasn't like, Jeff, you know, you got to the ninth inning, it's 9-8. Like, the Mets are hot. A couple guys popped couple home runs already. Like, they didn't have a base hit. It felt like hours in that game. And then the ninth inning pops up, and you do have to give the Mets credit here. Maybe it is that charm season, but they face Philadelphia tomorrow. That series, Jeff, currently priced at a -188. The Yankees are actually the highest favorites to advance to the next round at a -205. I think the National League, their two series, East Coast, West Coast, Padres, Dodgers, Philadelphia, Phillies, Mets, I think is fantastic. A little bit sleepy on that AL side, but that's a benefit to the New York Yankees now. When the 5-6 seeds advance here, you're looking for a bonus from that top seed, and you're getting that with the Yanks. But it is football season, Jeff, as we head. Not as exciting weekend here in college football as we saw last weekend, because we got an unbelievable battle in Tuscaloosa last Saturday night between Georgia and Alabama, all the way down the end. Exciting. A ton of points scored here. But some teams looking for bounce-back weekends this weekend. How's this card, Jeff, shaping up for you this weekend?
You know, for me, one of the most tired arguments I always hear is week to week, this card stinks. There's no good games. I couldn't care less. I think about the times in June and July when there's nothing going on. Look, I would bet New Hampshire, Harvard, if I had to. You know, it's something, right?
Yeah.
I think the cards, at least for me, I it's just another weekend. I think there's a lot of bettable winning spots. Yeah. You even look at tonight. I mean, there are multiple interesting games. So I'm not too worried about the glitzy, glammy games. Plus, for anyone that's complaining, there's a bunch of good games next week.
Yeah, it usually goes, it ebbs and it flows, and it'll work itself out. And once we get to that 12-team playoff, it's going to be great. But tonight, Jeff, you do have Michigan State, Oregon. That game kicks off 9 o'clock on Fox, and also a doubleheader at 9 o'clock as you see Syracuse and UNLV. Shout out to West Coast for getting involved tonight in two ranked teams, being Oregon and UNLV. Looks like we're looking at Oregon roughly 3-touchdown favorite, 23.5, and then UNLV a favorite at 6.5, looking to go 5-0 and stay in the top 25. Do they have enough juice, Jeff, tonight, UNLV, to knock off Syracuse?
Well, you know, this game's interesting, Donnie, because for a lot of people that maybe don't know this, one of the originators of lines, you know, the people that open these lines, one of them is Circa. Circa put this number out at 1:30 on Sunday. It opened 7. Mm-hmm. Within about 30 seconds, it dropped to 5. 5 minutes later to 4. 16 minutes later to 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's back up to 6. So what did we see there? The sharp action, smart people on Sunday came in and took UNLV. Mm-hmm. Now, I think on the field, that makes a lot of sense, too. What did we see last week, Donnie? UNLV, very emotional win, coming off a long week, quarterback leaves. They left no doubt against Fresno. Now, to me, maybe they're a little inflated. We're going to sell high on the Rebels and say, okay, I see a Rebel team that, for what it's worth, as good as they've been, they're 88th in passing defense, right? What do you have coming in? Syracuse, Common Court, best passer in the country as far as yards per game. This is a big time step up in competition. I like to go to teams that have maybe not really been tested through the air just yet. I think Kyle McCord's going to be on his front foot. Nobody really wants to back them after losing to Stanford. Kind of got a bye week last week playing Holy Cross. This number has not budged ever since the move back up. Doesn't seem like books want to put it up to 7 again. I think this is a strong play on Syracuse here.
Should be an interesting one to play out. The other game at 9 o'clock, Oregon looking to stay unbeaten. Offense not really a problem for them this season. They actually struggled a bit out of the gate. The Idaho game, 10-point victory, 24-14. Then they took on Boise State and Gene T, that fantastic running back. They win that game by 3 points, 37-34. Hammer Oregon State, 49-14, and then handle UCLA, 34-13. They're home, and it still sounds odd, like a Big Ten battle between Oregon and Michigan State in Oregon. Any thoughts on that one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Oregon, for, as you alluded to, really hasn't covered these big numbers. You know, Oregon State, that's kind of a rivalry, so maybe you throw that out a little bit. Throw in the fact that Oregon has Ohio State on deck. I think Michigan State, I mean, we're kind of rating them like they're UCLA. I don't see that. I think Michigan State's a team that can probably get to 20 in this game. You know, is Oregon that worried? I mean, with the expanded playoff, Donnie, as you know, winning by margin if you're Oregon's just not that important. I think you're just looking to get in, get a win, be up big at halftime. Maybe you look towards the first half in this one. You know, maybe you you kind of lay maybe a, I don't know what the number, probably around 2 touchdowns. You just hope you get out of Dodge up, you know, 21-3 and live to see another day next week.
UCLA, Jeff, by the way, we'll set the table. We're going to continue talking college football here. UCLA travels to Penn State, and it's another, again, UCLA in the Big Ten travels to Penn State for a Big Ten game. Penn State, a perfect 4-0 in the season, 1-0 in the Big Ten. Then you take a look at UCLA, 1-3 overall, and 0-2 in the Big Ten, and how UCLA got there. Losses to Oregon, 34-13, and then also Indiana, 42-13. Got beat by LSU and also squeaked by Hawaii in game number 1, 16-13. We'll hit those games and much, much more. It's a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Jeff Nadeau. Where a better place would you want to be? Nowhere. Right here on the Sports Grid Network. We will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To all the killers and the $100 billers. You know the lines, man. Come on now. It's how we get down. It's Moneyline. It's a Friday afternoon. Or should I say, actually, no, it's a Friday morning heading into the afternoon. It's Jeff Nadeau. It's Donnie Wrightside here. It's how we get down. It's a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. Talking some college football. Yes, we'll flip it over to the NFL. UCLA, Penn State, Jeff. Is this a wash? Penn State, 4-touchdown favorite. Total 46.5. Is this a Penn State special? Or does UCLA just stink?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to gauge this game, because one of the betting angles that I love early in the season is Penn State against non-conference opponents. And you're probably thinking, well, this is a conference opponent, but is it? I mean, it's the first game as a new conference opponent. Penn State still kind of in that early season mindset. Penn State against non-conference opponents over has been a moneymaker. 11 of 13 against non-conference opponents have won over. I don't know. I kind of had this game at like 41-13, something like that. I kind of like the over. Penn State could hit it themselves. In these total ranges, they have been money going over the total this year and really dating back to last year as well. It's kind of something I have my eye on in this game. Don't really have much interest in laying it. I mean, it's kind of at that key number, but it could be 41-0. UCLA could get shut out here. And I worry about maybe it's a lot like the Illinois game last week where it's just like 23-7 and that's
run it out. Yep, just run it out at that point. We'll see what UCLA brings to the table. The only ranked on ranked opponents this week, Jeff, it's going to be noon down at Kyle Field. That's College Station, Texas. That's Texas A&M and Missouri. Missouri rolls in top 10 in the country at 4-0. Texas A&M rolls in at 4-1, but 2-0 in the SEC. So a big battle down there. How about Missouri and Texas A&M to your eye, Jeff?
Yeah, I think Mizzou's kind of a little bit of an overrated group coming into this week, kind of a paper tiger. I mean, you look at this schedule. I mean, really haven't played anybody. The only good offense in Vandy almost beat them as 20-point dogs, scored 27 points. This is a good offense. I don't really love them on defense. That said, I mean, I'm not a big A&M guy either. I'm not a big Marcel Reed fan at quarterback. This is going to be a high-level defense they're going to play. I kind of had some interest in an under, maybe. I could see this getting to you know, like 27-21, 24-17, but A&M's got a good defense. I don't love them on offense. Mizzou really hasn't been able to get into the 50s. I kind of felt like this team was an over team at the start of the season, but they haven't been there. Now they're stepping up and playing a good defense. Again, though, not a real great matchup to me from a betting standpoint.
Jeff, if we take a look at last Saturday night's game in Tuscaloosa, Georgia, Alabama, two of the better teams in the country, no doubt about it. We had a winner, we had a loser, but also after those games, are there letdown situations? The reason I bring it up is Auburn's going to go to Georgia. That line is over 3 touchdowns with Georgia as a favorite. Then we take a look at Alabama going into Vanderbilt. They also are over a 3-touchdown favorite. Approaching that game, Georgia at home, Alabama on the road, any letdowns or any opinions on either one of those games, how these teams handle it?
No, Georgia, I think, will be fine. Auburn's kind of a mess right now. They can't score points. They don't know who their quarterback is.
Yeah, it's true.
That has all the making. Yeah, that has all the makings to me of like 38-7 or something. Now, Vandy, Alabama is interesting because Vandy is better than in years past. They have a pretty good quarterback in Diego Pavia. They're top 15 in the country in red zone touchdown percentage. They play fast. They're a pretty good offense. They don't really get a lot of stops. I bet the over. I thought 55 was a great number. I look at it today, it's 54, 53.5. So again, I've noticed, Donnie, this season, the totals like 50 to 57 have been good money makers. When you get up into the 60s, though, 65, 66, they're falling short. Maybe Alabama just completely is lost in this game and can't move the ball. Maybe there's a weather issue I don't know about, but I thought this was a great over spot. I think at worst, this is like 41-21 or something. I like the over here.
Shout out Extra Money out there, our guy X-Man in the chat box bringing the pain. RIP Prodigy, love to see that out there. Also Missouri money line for the X-Man in the streets for this weekend's action. Jeff, rematch of the national championship game, Michigan top 10 in the country once again versus Washington. Washington was about that 3-point favorite a little bit early in the week, that number creeping down. Jeff, do you agree with that? And also, how live are the Huskies in this game to knock off Michigan?
Well, I think they're live for sure, but I can't bet this team. I've watched them time and time again lose games because of stupid mistakes, bad penalties, turnovers, 3 missed field goals last week at Rutgers. Now you're going to go back home all the way across the country and take on a Michigan team who is on the road for the first time. Quarterback play's not there. Again, Donnie, I'm going under here. I think this could be, I don't know, first to 17 wins. I just don't see where the offense comes from these two teams. Michigan's a good defense. Washington's got a good defense. Michigan can't throw the ball. I mean, Washington, Donnie's bottom 5 in the country in penalties per game, just consistently beat themselves. Makes me want to assume that we're going to have some games, some scores that aren't going to get there. I think this is like 21-17.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. It is a Friday morning. It's a great Friday morning. Why? Because it's Moneyline. It's Jeff Nadeau. It's Donnie Wrightside here talking some football. By the way, you know me, guys. I love myself some Miami Hurricanes. They got lucky against Virginia Tech. A touchdown that probably shouldn't have been a touchdown, but was called a touchdown and probably shouldn't have been overturned as a touchdown, but ended up overturned as a touchdown. Keeps Miami in the top 10. But this is an interesting one again. An ACC battle between Miami and Cal Berkeley. This game is on the West Coast, and Miami's probably used to playing, Jeff, what? Noon football, 3:30, 6:30, 7:30, 9 o'clock at night, maybe at the latest. West Coast time, 10:30, double-digit favorites here, Jeff. The Miami Hurricanes, Cal Bears. Any opinions on this one?
Yeah, I like Miami in this game. You know, I just kind of talked about teams that have struggled scheduling-wise or haven't really played anybody. Cal's played UC Davis, Auburn, San Diego State, and Florida State. Now you got to go up and face arguably the best quarterback in the country, who, if we remember last year, Donnie, Cameron Ward was at Washington State. Yes. He completely destroyed this Cal team.
Good point.
I think they put up 42. It was a big, big, big win. They rolled, scored a lot of points. This is a Cal defense I think has been on borrowed time, playing a lot of weak offenses. Now you got to come in and play a team that had their close call. They got the job done. You know, Donnie, Miami's starting to remind me a lot of the last 2 years, Washington and TCU the last 2 seasons. Yeah. You know, winning a lot of games, you know, some games close, some games not. I like Miami's team total here. Something tells me this is a high-scoring game. I don't really want to worry about their defense. I just want to back the offense that I know is going to move the football. Maybe Cal's a little shell-shocked here. I like Miami's offense to get into the 40s. That's kind of what they do.
I'd like to say, Jeff, the floor is yours, Senator. Any other looks there in college football? Because I know sometimes you're digging on some of those gems, maybe not those spotlight or top 25 games. What are you thinking about tomorrow and some other action?
Yeah, I like Navy. You know I'm a big military guy.
Military,
I like
the military teams are good schools. This year. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. And the one that's not is Air Force. Air Force is bad. This is a bad Air Force team. The only win this year was this close win against Merrimack College. I think they only scored 20 in that game. Navy's laying 9.5 here. This Navy team's the best in the country in the red zone. The offense is quick. They run a lot of run plays, obviously, but they also throw the ball too. Got a good defense. They're also playing in revenge. You look at the last couple of years, Air Force has had their number 4 straight seasons. This is a game where you kind of 4 years, great Navy team, bad Air Force team, and only 2 starters back. I think Navy lays the wood here and wins big. I don't know how Air Force scores, to be honest.
The Naval Academy, boy, the Commander-in-Chief's trophy going to be up for grabs this year. That Army-Navy game could have some fireworks once we get there at the end of the season. Updates here, Adam Schefter tweeting out that Giants head coach Brian Daboll announced that Malik Nabers is still in concussion protocol and will be out this Sunday for the Seahawks, so good luck on the Giants going out to play the Seattle Seahawks. That line currently on the move, open up at 5.5. Now we're seeing the little Christmas tree effect, which here's what I love, Jeff, too, because if you're a handicapper just paying attention to the sport, it was apparent that Malik Nabers was not going to play this weekend. So I have I'm not in any suicide pools or, you know, survivor pools, as they call them now, where it's like, all right, you know, pick this week another team. I'm just doing, Jeff, from week number 2 started, just with a small amount, and I'm rolling over everything in my account. Like $50 turns into $75, turns into $100, turns into $150. Just see how long it can go. My pick this week was the Seattle Seahawks because I thought he was going to sit this one out, and also Devin Singletary. So I always like when people go, oh, now I'm going to go to the sports book and bet against the Giants when you're probably going to miss out on that key number of 7 to 7.5 when it pops up. We'll see if that comes through. But let's talk some NFL action, Jeff. Last night, 36-30 final. As I was talking to open the show, an unbelievable amount of fireworks in a game on a Thursday night football, which typically is lower scoring. My one favorite bet in that game, Jeff, was a rushing touchdown for the Atlanta Falcons. Nobody scored a rushing touchdown within 66 points in that football game. I was losing my mind.
Yeah, that's a rough beat. I don't really ever understand this league occasionally. I mean, Kirk Cousins, 509 yards.
Unbelievable.
For an offense that, again, kind of is struggles from time to time, that's a rough beat. I like the Falcons last night. I thought, you know, maybe anything under 3, I thought it was worth a shot. I didn't end up playing it. I played college instead. But, you know, last week, Donnie, I mentioned the Jags to you kind of in a desperate spot. Didn't win the game, probably should have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know you saw that last play. That last play looked like a touchdown to me, and they didn't mark it a touchdown. Yeah. It would have been an awful beat. That looked like a touchdown. I thought I got screwed, man.
I'm telling you, man. What an awful, like, sometimes it comes down to, it's like, well, how serious do you take it? And the ref's just like, we don't even need to review it. Let's just get off. It has no impact on the game itself. It is wild how some of these games end up, because we've all been there before. Like, all right, I think I'm going to win the game. It's like, oh, you know what's coming up next, Jeff. It's going to be the lateral play. It's going to be something nonsense. Nobody's going to care. The defense is going to be hunting the touchdown. And sometimes you end up with those terrible beats. So that was an interesting finish, no doubt about it. Sunday morning football, Jeff, on the East Coast. By the way, West Coast, 6:30 a.m. start. It's actually a decent game overseas. That's the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. Let me first start here. Are you in on the Minnesota Vikings this year? Is the balloon going to pop? Or you know what? This is actually a team that can compete for that NFC North title.
Yeah, I mentioned as the week went on last week, I kind of looked at the Vikings and I said, why is the market still underrating this team? It seems like, why are they 3-point dogs to anyone? They're playing really well. They look awesome on both sides of the football, not only offense, but defensively. But this is where I think you fade them, quite honestly. I like the Jets in this spot. There's something that we all know about Donnie, recency bias. Mm-hmm. I think the Vikings, at the end of the day, I think they're just kind of a I don't know how to say this correctly. They're kind of like a Saints on steroids a little bit, where they had a couple extra wins. But do we actually think they're this good? You know, you got to go on the road over to London, kind of throw off your routine a little bit. You know, it's not, you know, a divisional game. It's an AFC-NFC game. Jets are kind of down in the dumps. They didn't play well last week. Look, if you watch that game, though, it was one of just those raw, cloudy, rainy days. Look, yes, no excuse for only scoring 9 points. But that's a good Bronco defense. I'm going to go ahead and believe that the Jets bounce back. I'll take Aaron Rodgers over whoever the Vikings throw out there at the end of the day. Something tells me this is a great spot. As a favorite now, you're not getting points anymore. I kind of like the Jets a little bit here.
Yeah, outside of that game number one with the Jets defense, really got absolutely hammered. They've been good. And also, if you would have told me, like, hey, Donnie, I'm going to let you know Denver scores 10 points against the Jets on the road. What's that final score? And do the Jets win and cover? Absolutely. You'd be hammering. Yes, the Jets probably at least had into the low 20s, let alone maybe 25, 26 points. The fact that they were bad. And also, they missed a field goal at the end of the game to win that. And maybe that, you know, Jeff, they win last week. Oh, vibes are better. Maybe this is more of a pick 'em and not getting points at this point, because you're right. That recency bias does absolutely kick in here. But the one thing that we do agree upon, like on Pro Football Today, it'll be me, Joe, and Kevin. And we talk about, like, yes, Minnesota's 4-0, but are you going to the window, like taking a future bet on finally they're going to win the Super Bowl at this point? And I'm not saying I'm waiting for them to be bad, because I think they're a quality football team. I like their head coach. Darnold's playing well. But it's just not one of those teams I look like at the end of the season. Are the Vikings going to be there? It's like, yes, we are a top three team in the NFC. We've played that way all season long. It'll be interesting to see it play out. But you will gain more momentum if you do go overseas and end up knocking off the Minnesota Vikings at that point. Other good games, Jeff, that will tee up here because the break's coming up. Baltimore and Cincinnati. Is this where Cincinnati gets back into the race? Or, Jeff, I loved what I've seen out of Baltimore the past 2 weeks, man. Crank up that running game. That's what they do well.
Yeah, it is. And I definitely want to talk about this game on the other side. Yeah. I already made a bet on this one, so looking forward to it.
Good. Yeah, we'll tee that one up. That game currently sits now opened up at FanDuel at -1.5 on the opening number. Now it's up to 2.5 across the board. Totals 47.5 it opened up at FanDuel. Now we're seeing the 48s and even 49.5 at some outlets here. Probably expecting points in that game. Joe Burrow said it himself, big man. He might have to be perfect in this game to knock off the Baltimore Ravens. More NFL talk next. The best hour of your day is underway. It's Jeff Nadeau. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Moneyline. It's a Sports Grid Network. We're going to be right back after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Never too much football talk. It's a Football Friday. It's a Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Watching us live on YouTube, Sports Grid On Demand. You can catch us there, sportsgridradio.com, the Sports Grid app. Absolutely fantastic. So many ways to check us out. Got Jeff Nadeau here with us, and we did want to talk about one of the better games in that 1 o'clock slate. That's Baltimore and Cincinnati, Jeff. As I teed it up, Baltimore's slight favorite, -2.5 total, listed at 48.5 to 49.5, depending on where you're shopping at, Jeff. What are you liking about this game?
Yeah, I bet this one yesterday. Ravens team total over 25.5. I'm going to keep backing, as you alluded to, good rushing offense. A group that is very good in the red zone, 71% touchdown percentage. This is a Cincinnati Bengals team that's not stopped the run. They've really not been good at any level on defense.
Correct.
They're also a team that kind of play fast, you know, always a good passing offense. Maybe the defense gets a little tired. As you alluded to, Derrick Henry, this offense looks really good right now. I'm glad they've kind of went back to doing what they do best, running the football, and as usual, very good. Nearly 6.5 yards a carry. No one else is even at 5.8 yards a carry. They've just been romping and rolling. And what that does is it opens up the pass to the Likelys and the Andrews and to the other guys they have to throw the football to. I played 25.5, good number. I think they probably push 30 here. This Bengals defense is not good.
It's not good. And also, like, you know, Jeff and I know as well, it's not so much about the offense that you put out there, but you need them to keep scoring, which I think you have a very good running mate in Cincinnati. They'll throw it all over the lot. They can put up numbers. Now, last week, I know Jeff looking at that game saying, Jamar Chase going to score a touchdown, did. They didn't have a great offensive performance and still scored a ton of points against Carolina. I think they'll be able to answer the bell. I think we get points in this game. Well, certainly would help Baltimore. It's hard to stop Baltimore. If that team is cranked up here, it opens everything up, which includes running for Lamar Jackson and also that passing game, something to watch. Yeah.
You look at something about Cincinnati that continues to be a problem. You know, after last year, they were quite good, but this year they just can't get to the quarterback. Sack percentage at 4.24%, just not very good. That's 29th in the league. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They can't get to the quarterback. It's no surprise that every game they play is high scoring.
How about this next game at 1 o'clock? I'm not surprised now that this line has flipped. It's Buffalo and it's Houston. This was a number that Buffalo had a slight edge this week. -1s to -1.5s across the board, Jeff. That's completely flipped here on a Friday. -1.5s and -1s towards Houston. And the reason being behind that is, clear, Shakir's not going to play. Ed Oliver's not going to play. Last week, we're on the road against Buffalo, on the road again this weekend against Houston. Houston's top three wide receivers should play. But it is interesting to me. Houston really got battered on the ground game. If Mixon was playing for Houston, that would be incredible. But he's obviously going to probably miss this game as well. Do you have a look between Buffalo and Houston with now Houston as the favorite at home here?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I kind of, like, I don't disagree, but I kind of do. I was surprised to see this move. Just with no Mixon, Tunsil was limited, Dell was limited. They're kind of banged up themselves. That said, I think you're probably right that the receivers will play. And look, Tunsil is good for like 6 or 7 false starts a game, so maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. But, you know, I think most people are going to assume this is a high-scoring game. I don't know if – look, I was surprised that Baltimore was so good last week defensively. That's a good passing offense. But maybe we're kind of getting to the point where the Bills are a little bit one-trick pony-like. You know, not every defense is Arizona where you can just run up and down the field.
Yeah.
I think this is where maybe the Texans show on defense that they're just a better team. I think as long as I can get some clear bills of health for Dell and for Collins and maybe Tunsil, I'm going to probably be in on Houston. This is a kind of a game that could be an AFC title game possibility. So should be a good one. Another good game.
Yeah, Allen's been playing very good football. Shakir, I really like the way the kid comes on. Like, usually when I'm building out some of those same game parlays, he's always included. He won't be there, so somebody else has to make it up. Maybe it's the youngster, Keenan Coleman. Maybe the tight end step up to the plate. Or, hey, just give it to James Cook and make some good things happen. But certainly, two good games at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, this is going to be a good matchup in the trenches because Buffalo's offensive line's been good, very limited as far as getting Josh Allen dirty. This has been a really good Houston pass rush. So whoever wins that battle may win the football game.
No doubt about it. How about this one, Jeff? I have to ask this because when you look at trying to handicap teams and say, okay, what can I lean on? The Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. Huntley's going to get another start. He was brutal in that game against Tennessee. And quite frankly, when Tennessee goes on the road and buries you on a primetime game, I don't know where you go but up. Like, maybe you hold water, right? If you're saying, I just need to get Tua Tagovailoa back on the field. Now they play New England. So theoretically, even if you just had a heartbeat at quarterback, Jeff, you probably beat the Titans and you probably beat New England. They don't have that. New England is a favorite in this game. Is that the right call here? And also, is there any way Miami just gets up off the mat?
No. I mean, why would we expect him to? I mean, scoring's down at a really high level, Donnie, or really low level. Just we're not seeing many teams score points. We saw the Dolphins. They are what they are without Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, brutal. Huntley throws for 96 yards. They didn't really run the ball. 3.4 yards of play against a pretty good Titan defense. Now you got to go and play a better defense. You know, for what it's worth, I played team total under 18.5 with Miami.
Yeah,
I don't see how they get to 20. And if they do, salute, so be it. I think this team is lost. We're probably going to see Tyreek Hill starting to get irritated. He's not getting the football. You know, he hasn't been really much. Devin Achane's not really gotten the ball. He hasn't been effective. New England, for what it's worth, say what you want about their offense. They're a good defense. I don't see how the Dolphins score more than 18 points here. I just don't.
Just shows you, Jeff, the value of a really good backup quarterback can save your season. Like if Gardner Minshew was the backup in Miami, if Joe Flacco was the backup in Miami, this might be a completely different situation because right now you're looking at them on life. Exactly. They're on life support and all they needed was a heartbeat at quarterback and they could pick up some victories. I don't know if that's going to happen. Well, let's set the table for this one too, Jeff. Cleveland and Washington, like Deshaun Watson, just an absolute mess. Now, granted, they got robbed last week on a bad holding call with Amari Cooper with a long touchdown strike. They probably should have won the game, but didn't. Are we buying in, Jeff, on the Washington Commanders as legitimate contenders in the NFC East? Or is like, come on now, they played two terrible defenses. Of course they got a good offense now.
Well, listen, I was hoping you'd ask. We're going to talk about this on the other side. I have a hot take about the Commanders. People got very irritated by it, but I don't care. So
there we go. Hot takes, Jeff Nadeau. It goes hand in hand. It's a Friday. It's a football Friday right here on Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
4 o'clock card, not that great this week. I think the two best games this weekend, Jeff, for me, probably going to be Buffalo and Houston, and then also Baltimore and Cincinnati, and very intriguing at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, that start between the Jets and Minnesota. But then you have Las Vegas, you have Denver, Arizona, San Francisco, Green Bay, Los Angeles Rams, Giants, and Seahawks. Any one of those games pique your interest? For me, I'm interested to see what I get out of Jordan Love this week. A lot of turnovers last week, but a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. I'm interested to see if they're going to be able to move the football, and I think they will be, rather easily against the Rams. But what's your looks at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the well with the Cardinals. Maybe I'm just kind of way too into this team. I'm not really sure, but
I like the betting.
Yeah, I like them. I think defensively they're better than we think, and I know last week didn't show that, but I think you just kind of got a hot team in the Commanders. I like their offense. Kyler's always been a good underdog quarterback. I'm just going to kind of trust what I know about Arizona, and that's that they hang around in games and cover as an underdog. So you look at their last 10 as an underdog, 6-4 ATS, won 6 outright. So, I mean, generally when they cover, they win the game. So I'm going to feel like maybe the 49ers still dealing with some injuries. You know, still mm-hmm. got guys not practicing. You know, Kittle didn't practice, the guys on defense, McCaffrey's still out. So I'm going to kind of back that and lean on the Cardinals.
How about Sunday Night Football, Jeff? I actually have a good one here. The Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers lost last week to the Colts. They're favored by 2.5. No Michael Parsons, no DeMarcus Lawrence. Cooks is going to sit this one out, but not a lot of respect for Pittsburgh being at home laying under a field goal here. What's the outlook for this one? Dallas rise up and win this game single-handedly without a couple of their defensive players, or is this a Pittsburgh game for you, do you think?
Well, I think this is surely a Pittsburgh line. I think a lot of people are going to see this bailout game. Oh, Cowboys are an underdog. Justin Fields can't win a game like this. Yeah, but remember, Steelers got a great defense. Justin Fields is starting to gain what we would call confidence. Cowboys are kind of turning in yet again to a mishigas, if you will. Is you know, mm-hmm. got owners landing on the field in their helicopter. Just you know, Parsons is always out doing podcasts. The problem is, I'm not a big Justin Fields guy. I like him. I don't love him. But anything under 3, I'd probably lean on the Steelers here. You know, home game, Cowboys probably going to be bet pretty hard in the market. I like Pitt a little bit.
Let me ask you a question about this too. Davante Adams, wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders, he's going to be moved and probably by next week. Do you have an opinion on where he should go at this point or where he might fit in? Because he's trying to force his way to the Jets. Obviously, his best friend is Derek Carr for the Saints. I think the Buffalo Bills would be an unbelievable spot. Some people picking up there for the Baltimore Ravens. Do you have an idea of where you would like him to go when he gets moved?
I'd love him to go to the Jets. I think that would be a great match made in heaven. We know he played with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I think they still probably need a bell cow receiver. I think that'll open it up for Garrett Wilson a little bit. I think that makes a lot of sense. But your guess is as good as mine. If it was the Bills, I would go after him as well. I don't know what they're waiting on, but I'll go Jets.
I think pressure gets ratcheted up too, Jeff. Can you see it like going overseas, that 9:30 game, they end up getting beaten that one by Minnesota. It's like, hey, our season's going to spiral out of control. Now we have to make the move. It all winds up that way. But awesome show today, NCAA football. We covered it, talked a little baseball, and also that Sunday card. He's the big man on campus, Jeff Nadeau. Thanks for him for joining us today on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. But you know what we love about this? Jeff returns every Friday to talk, hang out, and have some fun. Great stuff overall. Chris Bond, the Wheels of Steel for Donnie Wrightside and Jeff Nadeau. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you.